Welcome to episode 166 of Between the Times, a podcast of Christ Church for Christ Church and for all who would care to listen in. My name is John Payne. I'm the pastor of Christ Church Presbyterian here in Charleston, and I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Gabriel Williams. Gabriel is the professor of atmospheric physics at the Citadel, a military college here in the peninsula in Charleston, and with a great history and background. Gabe has been in that job now for a couple of years. And Gabe, I'm sure our listeners are interested to hear how things are going after that transition.
Yeah, so it's been fantastic. So in terms of the transition, I spent 10 years at the College of Charleston. Then in 2023, I went over to the Citadel, and it's been exactly what I expected in terms of the mission of the college to raise up principal leaders. It's been exactly what I expected in terms of the kind of the character that the cadets have by and large. So it's been a great transition, and I'm enjoying myself there.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I imagine things on campus are a little more strict and orderly than at the College of Charleston.
Well, it kind of has to be. They don't really have a choice, but yeah, it kind of has to be.
Yeah, that's right. I remember one of our former elders who moved to Georgia. We were walking on campus one day. I was having lunch with him, and one of the plebes, one of the freshmen, did not properly salute him when we walked by. And my friend and the ruling elder said, said, "Son, you know, come here." And he came over and he said, "Why didn't you salute me? I'm sorry, sir. I you know, I made some excuse." And he said, "Well, next time, let's not that, you know, let's not that happen again." And and so, "Yes, sir. Sorry, sir." You know, and he went on. And I thought, wow, this is a really different place.
It's a different place
than than what I'm used to. But anyway, I'm glad things are going well for you there, Gabe. This morning, I thought it would be helpful for us to talk about, and encouraging for us to talk about, the nature and task of the ruling elder. You know, generally speaking, if a Christian walks into a Christian bookstore, they're not looking for a book on church government, right?
True.
They're looking on something that's, you know, they'd see as very, very practical, going to help them with their anxiety or with understanding the will of God or searching for a spouse or something, right?
Yeah.
But not necessarily church government or ruling elders. But the thing is, Gabe, there is nothing really more important, you know, aside from the actual person and finished work of Jesus Christ, than understanding the role of the church in their lives, right? I mean, there's such a central focus placed upon it in the New Testament and really all throughout the Bible. And so we want to talk this morning about the nature and task of the ruling elder. What role, in other words, what is a ruling elder, and then what role does a ruling elder play in the life of the Christian? And if I could just begin, Gabe, by saying that the elder goes back all the way to the early chapters of the Bible.
That's right.
There were elders in Israel when they were under bondage in Egypt. Moses went and talked to them in the early chapters of Exodus. He brought elders with him when he went to speak to Pharaoh. At one time, Moses was very overwhelmed and in the wilderness, and Jethro, his father-in-law, said, "You need some help." And so 70 elders were chosen specifically to help Moses bear the burden of you know, things that were going on in the life of Israel. To essentially, their role was to counsel and to judge and to bring wisdom to bear for Moses and for the people of Israel. Well, we see elders all throughout the history of Israel. We see them in, of course, as we just mentioned, with Moses. We see them in the United Kingdom of Israel. We see them in the divided Kingdom of Israel. We see them in the time of the exile. And, of course, when the New Testament, when Christ comes, and then there's Pentecost and the Spirit is poured out, it is not a strange concept to the early Christians to think of elders essentially leading and giving oversight to the church.
Exactly.
Right. So the ruling elder really plays a central role in all of redemptive history mm-hmm. amidst the people of God. And so let's talk about, first of all, what is a ruling elder? I would say, first and foremost, that a ruling elder is a shepherd.
I agree.
Of God's people. But that mm-hmm. sometimes is not how people see elders in the life of the church, or leaders, lay leaders in the church. Gabe, what are some of the misconceptions people have about deacons and elders in the life of a church?
Well, I think for some situations, I think some don't really see much of a difference at all between deacons and ruling elders. So in a lot of people's mind, you have the teaching elder or the pastor, and the pastor is kind of like a bishop-like figure, and then everyone else is kind of under him in some undivided sort of sense. So yes. You have like the pastor who dictates to a bunch of people under him, and therefore the ruling elder and the deacon are kind of interchangeable. They can sometimes be seen as like board members of an organization.
Yes.
Something like that. They're the ones who have the money, or at least hold the money at the church, decide where things are going. And so a lot of people may see ruling elders as purely an administrative, secondary type of task that's there. But when you read the New Testament, whenever elders are referred to, when you have kind of a mental picture, I think the shepherd idea is a great one to look at. And that's exactly what Paul does in the book of Acts, chapter 20, where he talks to the Ephesian elders. He has the same essential picture. So this is Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Again, shepherd-like language.
Flock, yes.
Shepherd language. In which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, which is the other aspect of this office, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And so if you think of a ruling elder as purely an administrative role, that means those people are not actually doing their essential task as overseers and shepherds, caring, watching over the flock.
Let me read this too, Gabe, just to reinforce that. 1 Peter 5:2, an exhortation from Peter mm-hmm. to the elders, quote, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's that shepherd flock language and analogy used again. So elders are not just financial managers. They're mm-hmm. not just those who are dealing with the business of the church, kind of as detached managers that mm-hmm. don't really know the people, but actually as shepherds of a flock. And who's that flock? Those for whom Christ died.
Exactly. And to kind of just speak more personally, the role of elders have largely dictated my own growth in Christ. And so when I was first converted as a teenager, I was in a sound church and growth was pretty clear and seen and visible to all. Went to college and did what a lot of college kids did. I went to a mega church, one, and at that place, I mean, no one actually knows who you are. You're just kind of one of many. And I don't think I've ever even met a person who would signify themselves as an elder there. And then I became disgruntled, and then I decided to become a member of no church. And so I was outside of church membership for 3 to 4 years. And it's clear that my growth in grace stagnated and at times has retrogressed backwards. Then when I moved to Colorado, I was in a church that believed in shepherding oversight. And again, the progress was pretty clear. And it takes a humble person, I think, just to admit the fact that you're not going to make progress in the Christian life yourself. You're not going to grow in grace yourself. And it's good to just be humble to admit that a good elder, a good ruling elder, is very necessary for your growth in grace. If you don't have an elder that's actually, whose task is to watch out for your soul, whose task is to see the blemishes in your character that you don't see, whose task is to confront you with unfaithfulness, that's what a overseer is meant to do. And if you think about kind of a natural picture of this, like in the Old Testament, when the elders of Israel neglected their task, it was very soon you saw the entire congregation, the entire nation of Israel fall into the grossest type of sins you can imagine.
Yes.
And so the health of the church, the health of the individual depends upon how well the elders accomplish their task. And that's why Paul in Acts 20 is exhorting them that they must do their role. You can't neglect their duty. You can't neglect your responsibility. You are the overseers. God has appointed you for that task.
Amen. And the session, their role, when it speaks of giving oversight, there are, of course, administrative tasks as a part of that. It's a large part of it. There must be order in the church. You know, in the Presbyterian Church in America, we have what's called a book of church order. That book of church order is, much of it is just explicitly from Scripture, the way that we, for instance, ordain elders and deacons, the qualifications they must have, the way, you know, but the way a congregational meeting is led is based on wisdom, you know, that's often derived from God's word, of course. But the book of church order is that which helps us to keep order in the church. And someone needs to be able to apply that book of church order to the life of a congregation. Of course, that's the session of elders. And then there's oversight even over sessions by the presbytery. So our listeners may not know this, but you know, we take minutes for every one of our meetings as a session, and those minutes are examined by a committee every year in the presbytery. And then the presbytery also has a review done by the General Assembly. So if a church decides it's going to go off the railings and not do things according to the Book of Church Order, which is what we've all taken vows to follow, then you will get censured in some way. And so the point is, elders are shepherds of the flock. They are to tend to the needs of the flock, the spiritual needs. They are to pray for the flock and encourage the flock. So, for example, you know, as an elder in this church, you know, yesterday I spent time giving premarital counseling and encouraging and exhorting a young couple as it concerns what a godly marriage is to be biblically. And then, you know, I left there, left my house where they were, and went to the hospital to pray with two of our members who are having a baby, and prayed with them. And, you know, last week I was on the phone for an hour with one of our members who's moved away and is going through a tough time, and praying for them and encouraging them. Those are the kinds of things that a shepherd does in the midst of their flock. Now, will a shepherd ever do it perfectly?
No.
Will he ever have the exact kind of nuance and the right kind of care that is going to fit every person and their expectations and so forth? The answer is no. Ultimately, Christ is the Good Shepherd. Ultimately, everyone needs to look to him for his all-sufficient grace. But the elders do play a role, a very important and vital role in the life of the Christian and the life of the church, and giving shepherding care and oversight, which is essentially the ministry of Christ to them. So the ruling elder really is indispensable, isn't it, Gabe?
Yes. And there's another aspect I think is also important, but probably not as emphasized as much. You have the overseer role, but elders are also meant to be examples to the flock.
Yes.
And so what this often means, if the elder's doing their job, is that a church member, a young believer or old, can look at the life of a ruling elder and, in a sense, examine the graces that are in them, examine how they live their life, not just in terms of what you know, ordinarily see, but think about how they govern their own households. Which is one of the requirements that we see for a ruling elder. How well do they manage their own household? How well do they actually walk the Christian life in terms of their sanctification?
1 Peter 5 again exhorts elders to be, as it says here in verse 3, to be examples to the flock.
Exactly.
And then it speaks in the next verse about the chief shepherd. Who is Christ. Jesus Christ. So, Gabe, share with our listeners some of the things that church members ought to see in their elders regarding being an example in the Christian life? What are some specific things?
So some specific things I'll think of is most ruling elders that I think every ruling I've ever known has been married and or has some sort of family, because you either have children in the home or you're empty nesters. So the first thing that you should be able to imitate about your leader would be, how well do they actually love and care for their spouse and their wife? How well do they raise their actual children? So part of the requirements is that you have one that says that children should not be known to be in active rebellion. That's one aspect. But really, look at their actual home life. Look at their family. Look at to see how they actually relate to their wives. How do they relate to their children? Other examples would be, kind of going forward, if you're looking at them directly, how do they actually attend to the means of grace themselves? Right. And so what I always have been encouraged by is to see ruling elders who, for example, attend the morning prayer meeting as an example to say, even the elders need prayer. Even the elders require this sort of attention to detail in their prayers.
Well, even more than that, the elders are required to pray for the people.
Yeah. And that also is meant to tell you that your ruling elder should be someone who is clearly a man of prayer. He's clearly someone who knows you. He knows your particular strengths and weaknesses. He knows your concerns and anxieties. And he actually asks you about it. He asks, what can I actually do to pray for you? Which is what has been the case for me since being at Christ Church. And another example in terms of something very practical would be, if you look at the life of a ruling elder, you examine their family, you examine their own private walk, you then basically ask questions on how are they thought of by outsiders. And this is actually one of the things that's probably not discussed as often, but often ruling elders, well, it is the case, ruling elders have jobs that are outside of the ministry like everyone else would. So how do they actually relate to their job? How are they known for being hardworking men of integrity in their own jobs? Right. How do they actually do that? And that's something I've asked about of my ruling elders. How do you actually work with unbelievers in your job? How do you make decisions based on wisdom to others in your particular career?
Yes.
How do you actually live out the profession of faith in an environment that is somewhat hostile, which a lot of ruling elders have to deal with?
And you read Acts 20:28 earlier, and Paul exhorts them, right, first and foremost, to pay careful attention to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And then to the flock, right? So there's a sense in which every elder, both teaching elder like I am and ruling elder, that we pay close attention to our own walks with God, so that we are not found living duplicitously. And, you know, as I've said a million times, as go the elders, so goes the church. And, you know, Christ Church's health and blessing over this past 12 years, you know, we were discussing at our congregational meeting this past week that we have 251 members. You know, we're continuing to grow. We're going to have a very big membership class coming up. You know, close to 20 people will be in that. Just a lot of encouragement, right? And I believe that the Lord's blessing comes when there's faithfulness in the leadership. And so, of course, the session, none of us are perfect men. There will be times where we will have to ask for forgiveness or or follow up on things, or we make mistakes. And that's why ultimately the congregation needs to ultimately look to Christ as their chief shepherd and to no man ultimately to to fulfill the ultimate ministry in their life. But at the same time, there is a responsibility we have to be faithful to the task that God's called us to. And so I'm thankful for our ruling elders, you know, and I'm and also one of the things we didn't mention is the fact that in the qualifications for elders, which is different than a deacon, is that elders have to be apt to teach.
Yes.
Right? And so there's there needs to be a sufficient grasp of God's word, theology, so that, you know, Titus chapter 1, so they can both rebuke those who contradict the scripture and also faithfully and positively teach the scripture and our confession. And so, you know, elders are called to the task of teaching and oversight, and to keep order in the church, church discipline, those kinds of things. The deacons, of course, are tasked in the ministry of mercy and the ministry of service. You remember Acts chapter 6, right? And a dispute arose between the Hellenists and the Hebrews, and in terms of the taking care of widows. And it turned out that the apostles realized, like, they can't keep doing everything. And so a new office was formed called the deacon, so that they could focus on prayer and the ministry of the word, and the deacons could come and help to serve in, in important aspects of church life. And really, we see that here at Christ Church. We have a wonderful diaconate, so faithful to care for all the physical needs and responsibilities around the church, and then the elders who are primarily focused on the spiritual needs of the church. And when those two bodies are working together, it really does bring a wonderful harmony in the life of a church. Gabe, we have a conference coming up.
That's right.
With the Gospel Reformation Network in May. It's May 7th and 8th, and actually it's on the theme of the ruling elder. And that theme, of course, is the theme of 2025 for the GRN. But we are really focusing in on this conference with messages that are focused on things like, and by the way, let me say, this conference is for ruling elders, teaching elders, elders' wives, kids, families, members, whoever wants to come can come. It's going to be marvelous. It's going to be at St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford, Florida, which is the church that R.C. Sproul established. It's on the campus of Ligonier Ministries. It's going to be outstanding. The music is going to be amazing. The singing, the messages from men like Guy Waters and Fred Greco, men like Mel Duncan and Rick Phillips. And there are going to be panel discussions. It's going to be a great time to learn about the nature and task of ruling elders. There's going to be a breakout session for women as well, for ruling elders' wives, led by Carrie Anderson from Woodruff Road. And it's just a beautiful place to be down in Central Florida. So I'll just say May 7th and 8th, that's a full day Wednesday, half day Thursday, we're going to have this national conference, and we would encourage our listeners to come down and join us if they're able. It's going to be a great time. And to you know, yes, as we led off in this session, in this episode, Gabe, people are generally not going to walk into a Christian bookstore and pick out a book on church government. But this conference, I think, is going to help people to understand just how important the role of ruling elders are for the life and health of a congregation. And it's just going to be a joyful time. So I hope many will be able to join us. Well, Gabe, thanks for this conversation.
Definitely.
It's been good. And may the Lord bless all you who are listening in, and we hope you'll be encouraged to pray for your elders, to express gratitude to them when you can. Remember Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:17, which says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Remember your elders, pray for them, give thanks for them, encourage them, and give thanks to God for the way he has ordered his church, for his glory, and for your spiritual good." Until next time, we'll see you then.